Why and how do hackers use those black screens? The shortest possible answer is https://linuxcommandlibrary.com/basic/oneliners. That will show you a really nice overview of all the commands everyone is typing. But overall, the black screen represents a different kind of user interface. And the applications within that world can actually be connected together to create new applications. This used to be the original computer interface before graphic applications and the mouse were invented. Today, it is used because it is much faster than the GUI. It is less distracting, and it is easier to make programs for. Think about playing music. How many icons you have to click on to get there? On the command line, you just type in CVLC /music/*. And keep doing what you're doing. The reason why graphic user interfaces are popular is because they have an easy on-ramp. They give you breadcrumbs to get where you are going. The command line requires that you remember where your files are and remember some of the commands, such as CVLC to play music or wget to download a file or a website. And you don't have to memorize those commands completely, you can just download a little cheat sheet. After a while, you will stop forgetting their names. It's really not that big of a deal. And if you need to browse some photos, then you just use a normal GUI program that can display them. Though instead of clicking on an icon somewhere, you launch it from the command line by entering its name. It is just another command to add to your cheat sheet. And just like there is a limited number of things that you do on the phone, you will also limit yourself to just knowing 5 or 20 things that you normally do on the command line. This is not rocket science. Just like your phone apps or desktop applications, programs on the command line can do multiple things. Every command has a help feature where you type in command name followed by -h, and that will list all the different things that a command can do. For example, wget has a mirror option. Here, you don't just download a file, but mirror the entire website. You actually crawl all the links and web pages that are found there. The command line is just a different interface to do the same things that you always do. Think of wget as an app. Imagine it's installed on your phone and it's called webget. And it would just have two buttons, download a file and download website. It's that simple. It's a program that's represented differently. Now let me give you a more involved example, and I apologize ahead of time. I would like to show you how to download internet stories. Every website offers some way of getting some of their data. Hacker News, a website for programmers, has a nice description of their raw data on github.com/hackernews/API. And here we learn that their website data structure is all about numbers first. And to get at those numbers, we have to download their topstories.json file. JSON is a file format, but it is not really perfect for the command line. So we will have to deal with it. Reduce it and simplify it with a program called JQ. JQ reaches into the JSON file format and grabs plain text for us, without the extra curly braces, without quotes, or in this case, commas that delimit the entries, and square brackets that tell us what we are getting is a data array. We will use curl. It is very similar to wget, but it doesn't have that fancy extra stuff for mirroring websites, which we are not interested in. And we need a JQ tutorial to give us some hints on how to use it. Sometimes watching a video tutorial is useful as well. I found the stuff under array/object-value-iterator dot open square bracket close square bracket. Programmers speak like this when they assume only other programmers will read their stuff. Little do they know, we don't really need their funk. We just look at their code. That is an important lesson, actually. Never, ever read the freaking manual. What takes you 20 minutes instead of 1 minute teaches you 20 times more. There's a lot of people out there that say RTFM, but that is only because they don't know the answer, because they spent their career brainlessly looking everything up. Just ignore them. We are adventurers. So to get at the numbers, we have to say curl https://hacker-news.firebaseio.com/v0/topstories.json pipe jq single quote dot open square bracket close square bracket single quote. Those single quotes tell your command line that your code in there belongs to JQ. The command line is actually a programming language, often called Bash. To keep command-related stuff isolated, we use single brackets. It means don't do anything with stuff in there, even if it's interesting. The way you get a feel for all this is by looking at command line cheat sheets and video tutorials, and if you are going somewhere without computers, grab some pocket reference titles. The smaller the source of information, the more valuable the information within. If you buy a Linux Bible, you won't be able to tell what is important and what isn't. And it is really cool to just have a long, long little row of pocket reference books. It shows that you don't mess around and mean business. At this point, we have a list of numbers that represent stories on Hacker News. To grab a story, we have to curl item/story number, followed by JSON. There's a bit of a problem here, because piping the output of the list of numbers to WC command with the -L switch, which stands for word count, count number of lines for me, reveals that Hacker News API returns 500 story numbers. And it is bad etiquette to issue 500 requests to Hacker News servers. Trouble. Moreover, each Hacker News story has a list of numbers that represents the comments, presumably the top comments in the thread, and each comment will have more comments and more comments. Even though they say there is no rate limit, we would probably trigger their security system and get temporarily banned. I recently got banned by NPM for a little bit because I was looking for package names I could use to publish a program I was working on. I knew I wanted something similar to rsync, which is the name of a command responsible for remote synchronization of files, but somebody else took rsync ages ago. So I started changing the URL in the address bar to S-sync, T-sync, U-sync, V-sync, W-sync, X-sync, Y-sync. And all of a sudden, the website said, "You're doing too much of that. You are temporarily banned." Fair enough, I guess. I ended up publishing rsend because it occurred to me that I'm not really syncing arbitrary file locations, but sending from local to remote. I use it to upload my music to my workout audio player, but the program is very ugly because I only expect GNU utilities on the target system. While I can program all kinds of things on the local system, the remote system will not have my code, so checking file uploads has to be done via GNU Linux commands. One way to throttle our requests is to use the sleep command between downloading each of the stories. We could sleep for 1 second for the first 10 stories, and then 2 seconds, 3 seconds, and finally 5 seconds between each request, and nobody would get mad at that. Another way to do it is to prefetch 3 or 5 stories ahead of where you are at right now, so you wouldn't have any wait times if you just read the stories live. This way, if all you want to see for the day is 10 stories, then you will only download 15 and not 500. Beyond that, you could do a little bit of maneuvering and begin gathering top stories every hour throughout the day at a comfy 10-second interval. If you were experiencing internet trouble, you would have thousands of stories to read. There's something you should know. You know how the WC command that we just ran had an L switch to make it count lines? When you are inside a full-screen program, interacting with things kind of should be maybe about letters as well. If we made an interactive terminal program that just browsed a screenful of Hacker News at a time, to go to the next page, you would have to press the N key. This is yet another black screen shortcut that goes straight into a cheat sheet. We also need to consider other news sources, whatever your favorite hangout spots on the internet are. And not everyone is going to be nice as Hacker News and present an API. There may not be a public API. In that case, we will need to write a screen scraper. That is one of the worst kinds of programs, as it doesn't use the data beneath the screen, it just sort of does this ugly, dirty scrape of whatever is on top of the screen. This entails controlling a full web browser, and sort of making it look like there's a human browsing the page, where it is actually a freaking robot. And it gets worse, like super bad. There was a worldwide DNS problem a couple of days ago, and Amazon keeps forcing me to solve their CAPTCHA when I use Firefox. Chromium works fine for me. There may be websites out there that can stop you from scraping them by presenting a CAPTCHA, and the only way to fix that is to actually sit down and solve it. The glitched Amazon that I am still experiencing would only ask me to solve the CAPTCHA once per opening a browser, and that was already pretty annoying. CAPTCHA is unlikely to feature on news websites though, but if you scrape too quickly or they detect unusual browser activity, you may get one. Now that all websites use JavaScript, you can't just mirror them with wget like you used to be able to do. They now need an automated browser that will first run the JavaScript that makes the page and then save the HTML or the source code. When we are inventing on the command line, we have to jump ahead of ourselves and see what our program will need when it is finished. And the first thing that comes to mind is multiple news sources. If we are to create a system to extract interesting stories from multiple places on the internet, then it is definitely something that should consist of multiple programs that run hourly or so. So we would have one program for extracting data from Hacker News and another program for extracting data from eBay about some obscure phone that is cool but never available, and another program to get emails from different service providers, news from, say, the Raspberry Pi blog, and information from Raspberry Pi, like temperature or pressure changes, maybe new high-res photos from the nearby squirrel cam. We could make this work via command line RSS readers, with the option of using a proper desktop one, by setting up a local RSS server or a file that keeps track of all the data from all these places. And I think the data would have to sit in an SQL database. This way, all those different data sources and data extracting programs would have a universal format that can be easily processed left and right. Once they are put into the database, creating custom RSS feeds is actually easy. They are just plain XML files, very similar to JSON. While SQL and the feed server can be easily controlled from the command line, the scraping of the various unfriendly websites will require a custom program. Personally, I would base it on browserless.js, as it has a built-in evasions techniques to prevent being blocked. Huh, I just noticed that they misspelled evasion techniques. I forked their project and fixed a couple more mistakes that I could find. I created a PR, short of pull request, which means that I am requesting that they pull the fixes that I have created. So because browserless.js is open source, an open source code project, anybody can make valuable little contributions like I just made. But even with the mighty browserless project, websites we would be scraping will sometimes update their code, and our scraper brains would need to be updated as well. Overall, our best option here is to cut 10 entries from the top of Hacker News and see if we can get away with making 10 quick requests to their top stories and call our initial, perhaps final, version done. Personally, I would also begin testing NewsButer, Snow News, Newsroom, and Newsboat to get the feel for command line news and consider moving to desktop RSS clients as well, so as long as they support ad blockers. And then, maybe in the future, and very quietly, I would begin working on my scrapers, being mindful that they must output RSS feeds, which then I would add to my RSS readers. To be honest, there's not much time that I have for reading internet news, and the more I think about it, the more fetching that little 10 news items program seems, and the more clunky even RSS readers start to look. You know what? Let us chop off the top 10 entries from Hacker News and see if we can quickly get an overview of what is going on in the world. The command for getting top of the data is head, and to specify how many lines we want, we just use dash n. So our command now looks like this: curl topstories.json pipe to jq.squarebrackets pipe head hyphen n 10. Armed with 10 numbers that represent top stories, we now have to take the second step and use each of those numbers to download the titles from Hacker News. And here we reuse curl, but the URL that we give to curl needs to have that number inserted in there, or interpolated. There are two ways to do this. One is x args and the other one a while loop. The while loop is better. It is more readable. It is faster. But I don't like it because it's a loop. It wraps things. It makes a circle. On the other hand, my x args approach creates a single straight command line. Unfortunately, my line ends up having a command that uses quotes inside quotes. So there is quote escaping by means of backslash, and that is something I don't like because it looks really ugly. But I must say, the proper way to do this is a single pipe. Get the top story numbers, map the numbers to data, and map the data to text so that it looks nice on the black screen. Three simple steps. Get numbers, convert them to stories, print them to screen. There should be no while loop here. In closing, I will read to you the code of each of the three approaches in the way that I think about it. I won't read quote backslash n, but give you a somewhat poetic reading. First is my x args approach, a single, simple pipe. Curl. Get top stories. Hey, JQ, I want you to give me everything inside the array. Hey, head. Cut off top 10 entries. I don't need 500 here. X args, get ready. We are going to use the percent sign and we are going to run pipes inside. Girl, I got a percent sign for you to interpolate. JQ, I want you to give me raw output and I want you to add together title, URL, and an empty slot to create a very pretty list of stories. Numbers, stories, print them on screen. Now I will describe the first loop approach, which is actually a little backwards. Alright, Bash, while you are reading ID from the output of curl top stories JQ square brackets head cut off top 10, I want you to do curl get item by ID and then JQ, I want you to give me title, new line, URL, and new line all added together to make it nice on the screen. And here is the way that normal people probably prefer, but I am unhappy about this because there shouldn't be a loop here at all. All right, Curl, we are starting in the beginning. Let's get top stories, and now let's clean them up with JQ, and now let us just focus on the top 10. Bash, you're up. I need a loop. I need you to loop over those 10, and we will call each of the lines ID. Okie dokie, now we are inside the loop. Curl, download and output this JSON, and JQ, I want you to merge title, new line, URL, new line, and pipe it over to the add function. And done. Bash, I want you to close the loop. Thank you. And that is what the black screens are all about. They are a little bit weird, but they are mighty and powerful. I hope I somewhat inspired you a little bit more to look into this strange world of screens and commands.